Preseason is over. And yet I still haven't gotten a phone call from the Eagles. I think I do know the reason. And the reason is, look at these things. These are like sixth grade hands. That's all God gave. I literally have to buy gloves in the little junior department. And I wish I could that I could get a real good grip on a football, but I can't. So, but if this was the NFL size football, the Eagles would have called me, right, Mark? Come on, you've seen me. And imagine if I was standing there over center, and you heard me say C6 H12 06 C6 H12 06. You might think he's barking out some signals, some football signals. He's got the football in his hands. But if I put the football down and left that aside, and instead you saw me up front kind of going like this, and I said, C6, H12, 06, right? Then you might be thinking, oh, he's playing some kind of bingo. Like it doesn't spell bingo, but he's playing some kind of bingo game, right? But then again, if I took that prop and put it away, and I took out my trusty stethoscope, and you may say, what is he doing with a stethoscope? Well, everybody has their own stethoscope, I'm sure, right? I don't know, but not really. If I said C6, H12, 06, and I had a stethoscope on, maybe you'd be thinking, it's probably something medical. Maybe it's a chemical compound. And if that's what you thought, you'd be right. Because I have, to be honest, never heard any quarterback say C6, H12, right? I've heard, you know, Omaha, Blue 42, whatever, right? They're football signals. I searched the internet. I haven't found any game that has a C6 and an H12, right, and an 06. But in the medical field, C6, H12, 06 equals glucose, blood sugar. It's your blood sugar, right? Maybe some of you EMTs out there or somebody may just had science class. You know, my body needs glucose. I have to have it. If I stood here with a piece of wheat bread and a can of Coke and I ate the piece of wheat bread and I drank the can of Coke, we know that an hour later, you're not going to find little lumps of wheat bread in my forearm. You're not going to, you know, there's not going to be any Coke, you know, pooling in my foot area, right? Why? Because our body takes that and it turns it into what? Sugar. And my body absorbs it because I need it. Now, obviously, not everything's the same. That piece of wheat bread would put basically 2 calories of glucose into your bloodstream per minute. That can of Coke would put 30 calories of glucose into your bloodstream per minute, right? And then that causes what? That determines how much insulin the pancreas is going to release to fight the glucose. And that is the end of my doctor knowledge. I'll put it aside. You know what I mean? They're good to have every so often just to make sure you're still ticking, you know what I mean? But no, obviously I bring up that for a purpose. And the purpose is this, that my body needs food. I need food. I need glucose. Why? Because my body does what? It takes it and it converts it into energy. I need it. I need food. And the incredible thing is God has designed to make you eat. And that sensation is hunger. We want to look at that today. We want to look at God's incredible design for the human body of hunger. It's not there by accident. He planned it because you need food. And hopefully it'll help us to see a hunger that we should have for spiritual things as well. So let's pray. God, I thank you for allowing me to stand here and preach your word. My words are only beneficial if you guide me into highlighting your words, your truth. So Holy Spirit, take your word and apply it to our hearts today, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we began this series a while back, this series about God's incredible world, right? What a wonderful world. We began looking at the stars, and the psalmist says, when I consider them, wow, what, you know, how excellent is your name, O Lord, how majestic is your name. Then we looked at design for touch, human touch, how it works, and how Jesus used it when he walked this earth. Then we looked at God's design for seasons. He didn't have to, but he planned seasons. He wanted us to experience variety and how to adapt to change. Last week, we looked at God's design for all that's under the surface of the waters and for us to see what's under there. And today, we do the same. We go back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the very beginning, you'll see what? You'll see food. Food is important. In the very beginning of Genesis chapter 2, when we read in verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight. Beautiful tree, right? But what also? In the that it was good for food. Good for food. Verse 15 of Genesis 2. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. Eat. I don't know if there's any left, but my brother's a farmer, or at least in part of his yard over there across from, Dan lives right across from Steinhauer. I'm giving away your address. But, you know, right across from Steinhauer School. But he, great yard, and he, him, Nancy, they grow all sorts of things. We had, you know, there was tomatoes and stuff in the back. If there's any left, great. But he cultivates it, right? He grows it. He works at it. Why? Because it's not just to look at it and win a prize for a tomato, but to eat it. God says in the very beginning, food. I serve as a volunteer chaplain with the Maple Shade Police Department. And from the very beginning, they have felt it be beneficial, and it has been, to have us as chaplains involved in all of their training, to understand what they face, what they're facing when they go to a domestic situation, how they're responding when someone's, you know, may have a weapon, but everyone else is lifting up their phones, you know, how to respond in a school situation, how to respond here, how to respond there, all, many different things. But no matter what the training is, and it's really diverse, they always begin by saying, all right, what are the four rules of gun safety, right? And they start shouting them out, right? Assume that every weapon is loaded, right? Number two, don't point a gun at anything that you're not planning to shoot. Number three, keep your fingers off the trigger. Number four, make sure you see your target and what's surrounding it, right? They say it every time, no matter what their training is, right? Because it's foundational. When God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he could have said almost anything. He could have said to them, now listen to me. There's going to be a lot of things you're going to be doing as a human being. But the thing I want to first talk about is your legs. I gave them to you to run, so you need to be running every day. He could have said, you know, you're going to be a lot of things. I hear my little granddaughter Claire. She's using it. It was right on cue, because what I was going to say is, he could have said, I've given you a voice. Make sure you're using it. Make sure you're singing. But he didn't. What did God say? God said, eat. Eat. There's a lot of things you're going to be doing out there, but here's what I want to make sure you know up front. Eat. Why? Because these bodies that God has given us are amazing manufacturing facilities, but they require food. Your body, you may say, I'm not very creative. You, yourself. You may say it about me, that's fine. But you may say it about yourself, I'm not very creative. But the reality is, your body is creating heat, muscles, proteins, RNA, hair, enzymes, fat tissue, fingernails, bones, and I could go on and on, right? You may say, I feel a little better about myself now, you know. Or, you know, hey, for you teenagers, right? Next time your parents say, have you just been sitting in this room playing video games? You say, no, I've been creating heat and protein and muscles, right? I've been doing a lot of stuff in here all this time. Come on, right? And it's stunning to me, even, yeah, like little Claire is our littlest grandchild sitting up front here. You take a little baby, and you know as mothers, right? That little body, in there is this design of God. That body will die without food. And so God has designed in that body the sensation of hunger. And eventually they feel it, and they go, wow, right? Because they want you to feed them. It's amazing. Your body needs fuel, and it comes from eating and drinking. And to refuel us, God has given us the sense of hunger. If you look at the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus walked this earth, remember what Scripture says about Jesus. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And Scripture tells us, Paul writes to the Colossians, all things, when we read that God created all things, we read in Colossians, all things were created through who? Jesus. So God, our Creator God, through His Son Jesus, created all things. So in essence, Jesus created the design of the human body that it would hunger. And now we read in John's Gospel, right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, we only got, what do we got, less than 4 months till Christmas or whatever, you know, like, you know, that sense of what unto you this day was born a Savior, Jesus, God comes into a human body that He created. And what do we read in Mark chapter 8? In those days when there was a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. What made Jesus say that? It could have been, it's not there in Scripture, but could it have been that Jesus' stomach growled? Whew, I'm hungry. These people gotta be hungry too. Could it be that he had a, you know, when you all of a sudden you get that sense of you're dropping your, my blood sugar dropped. You know, if I eat pancakes and syrup for breakfast, my blood sugar's going to drop around lunchtime because of all the insulin my pancreas sent to deal with the syrup, right? You know, and you feel it. Your body's telling you, I need something. And Jesus does what? He gives testimony to the sense of hunger. Dr. Leonid Majdenko wrote about hunger. He says, hunger is the sensation generally characterized by spasms in an empty stomach and the instinctive need for food. Hunger is initiated when the body's food reserve drops below the level of normal energy balance. You're not going to answer this on a test, right? It's just, you know it. Hunger is nothing but a physiological regulator for the amount of food intake. In most cases, contractions of the empty stomach significantly increase hunger. These contractions are perceived by nerve endings in the wall of the stomach and conveyed to the brain where the feeling of hunger originates. So it's in our stomach, but it's our brain who tells us we're hungry, which is why there's all sorts of studies going on with the hypothalamus gland in the brain, because they're trying to figure out for us Americans and others, is there a way we can tell the brain to stop thinking it's hungry, so we can, you know, it can help us to, you know, in our diet and whatever, can we manipulate it? But it's incredible all that's happening. He goes on to talk about glucose. Blood glucose level is also an important contributing factor to the sensation of hunger. These contractions are glucose levels that drop below a critical concentration are intimately associated with the feeling of a hungry stomach. So all this stuff going on, it's all going on inside our body. It's stunning. And it's meant to make us stop and go, wow, God. What an incredible God you are. When the psalmist says in Psalm 139, I have been intricately woven together. What a God. You created us, and then you created food for us to eat, and then you created the sensation of hunger to make sure we eat the food that we need. Now, I know that, listen, there's a lot of times I eat and I'm not hungry. I'm eating just because it's good and I like it, right? But that what God has designed in there to cause us to continue to what? To be able to feed our body. It's supposed to make us say, wow, God, incredible. But there's more to it. His creation, his general revelation is supposed to point us to what? To being able to say, Lord, my soul is hungry. My soul is hungry. I need to be fed spiritually, right? If you look back to Genesis chapter 3, it's right there in the beginning of creation. Just like he first says, look, in the garden, eat the food. When Adam and Eve are being told by God, here are the results of your sin. What is right there in the center? Eating. And how eating is going to cause them to think about how they disobeyed God. And you say, well, how does that happen? Well, look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Grew up down the street here, Spruce Avenue. My parents are over here. We're blessed so well that mom and dad are here. And when you're as a family, you know, we may not use the word fellowship, but you're in fellowship together as a family, right? And there are things that can break that fellowship, right? Or, so be in good fellowship with dad as a kid or whatever, you obeyed his rules. And one of dad's rules was regarding time, right? When does the day end? My dad would say, house closes at 11 o'clock. Everyone in my family knew that. 11 p.m., the house shuts down. And he used to say this. He didn't mean it legalistically, but he'd say, all good Christians go to bed at 11 p.m. Did I say 11 a.m.? I meant 11 p.m. All good Christians are in bed by 11 p.m. Now, you're allowed to stay up after 11 p.m. He didn't really mean you're not a good Christian, but what he was saying was, get to bed, let's go. Now, when we were old enough that we didn't have to, you know, he'd say, that's fine. You don't have to go to bed. Get out of the house. Go do something with your friends. If you and your friends, you're home from college and you want to go do a late night activity, you can't do it in the house after 11 p.m. The house closes down, right? God could have said to Adam and Eve, listen, the garden closes at 11. So you better make sure you're hunkered down for the night at 11. But he didn't. When I was in junior high, I could blame it on being influenced by friends, but that sin nature inside of me that for some reason enjoyed, found excitement in vandalism. And we got in trouble with a house on the corner of where I live, Spruce Avenue. The only person out of the group that the woman recognized was me, Leo McDonald's boy. And so the police came to our house. And I remember the police telling my dad what we did, throwing snowballs at this woman's window and things, and you're welcome to say, boy, we are disappointed with you, because I am disappointed that I did it. But I can remember in it my dad saying, all right, to me, now we live on this side of the street. She's on that side of the street. If I see you walking down her side of the street, you shall surely die. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say what he did say, I want you to know that you there is going to be consequences that will be felt, right, if you're on that side of the street. God could have said to Adam and Eve, listen, see that tree? If you get within 20 feet of it, you're in trouble. But he didn't, right? He didn't use time and distance. One of the rules with my dad was, don't you finish the milk at nighttime. My dad had cereal in the morning, hardworking guy, out he would go, and milk for his cereal. After he went to bed, if you finished the milk and there was no milk, that was a hard, fast rule. Don't finish the milk, right? That's the one God picks. I don't mean specifically that, but what do we read there? God says, Adam, remember what I put up in front? Eating, how critical eating is. Adam, listen to me. One of the results of your fall is this. It is going to be a lot harder for you to eat. You're going to have to sweat and work hard to get food, because I want you, every time you go to eat food, to realize what is lost by losing fellowship with me. That you have, that far more important than food for your body is food for your soul. Far more important than filling your body is that necessity of what? Filling your soul. I've created you with a spiritual hunger. Jesus says that when Satan tries to tempt him, and right? Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. It comes right out of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, when Moses is reminding the people of what? Their relationship with God. What's at the heart of it? What does he say in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3? God humbled you and let you be hungry. And then he fed you with manna, which you did not know. We sang today in that song, Honey in the Rock, Manna on the Ground. You may say, I didn't know, I sang it, but I didn't know what it meant. You know, God gave manna, bread out of heaven. Every morning when the Israelites got up in the wilderness, it was there on the ground. Enough manna for that day and that day only. You got to trust me for tomorrow, right? And God gave them manna. And what does he say? The reason why, right? That he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. You need to feed your soul. In John chapter 6, Jesus performs a miracle that all the Gospels record. But we'll look at John chapter 6, right? Because there Jesus feeds miraculously. In verse 1, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd follows him. Jesus sees that this crowd needs to eat. He's going to teach his apostles how he is the only one who can provide, not only for your body, but for your soul. And Jesus says, how much bread do we need to feed these people? There was 5,000 men there, right? And others. And what does Jesus do? Tell them all to sit down, because a little boy has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Some people think, oh yeah, I've heard that legend story. It's not a legend. It happened in the hands of Jesus on this earth. For a reason. For what happens in verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments so that nothing will be lost. And they fill 12 baskets. Jesus takes a couple loaves of bread and fish. He feeds at least 5,000 people. Somebody will say, oh, well, that's because they broke it up into tiny little. No. It says they ate until they were filled. He multiplied it, and he multiplied it, and he multiplied it, and he showed, I can keep making bread. I can keep feeding your physical body. I have the ability. I'm the creator. I could produce food for your physical body. And because of that, they follow after him. But they only want that. They want the bread. And in verse 26, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father God has set his seal. What is Jesus saying? Jesus says, you're following me because you want a full stomach. That hunger in your stomach showed you that I have the ability to feed you physically, but it's supposed to be pointing you to a greater hunger. That hunger in your soul for something more than just physical food. You need eternal food. So do I, right? We need it. We need something more filling than pasta. We need peace. We need something more satisfying than a filet. We need forgiveness. I need something more meaningful than an eclair. I need eternal life. And I could keep trying to use the same letter to match a food, you know, with a quality, but we're all going to just, you guys are all going to leave and go eat lunch, right? But my point is, we need those foods, and we love them, and we, oh, but Jesus says you need more. Verse 32, he says this to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger." I'm the one that you need. I'm the answer. I've had meals where I finished the meal, and I was filled and satisfied, but there wasn't much I could do for a while because I just, you know. The beauty of having your soul filled, the psalmist tells us about it, right? In Psalm 63, if you have a Bible, Psalm 63, what does he say in verse 5? "My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips." In other words, he's saying, when you fill up your soul, you can still sing. There's a lot of meals I'm done eating. I couldn't do much singing, right? But you can do that. There's such a beauty to filling the soul. Your body is an incredible manufacturing facility. And it is incredible to say, "Wow, God, I'm sitting here and I'm doing nothing, and yet my body is producing heat and it's producing bones and it's producing RNA. And wow, what an incredible thing." And so it needs food. But likewise, your soul is looking to produce. What is my soul looking to produce? Well, Paul tells us what your soul is looking to produce when he writes to the Galatians in chapter 5, and he says this: "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." And you need food to do that. And the food I'm talking about isn't something that I could put in my mouth and eat, but it's something that I put in my soul, right? I have been created by God to hunger for physical food so that I would eat it for my body. I've been created by God to see that hunger as a picture, a window, that I have been created for spiritual food from God. And I have a hunger, and there's only one place to go and eat, right? One place. You may leave here today and say, "What do we want? Do we want a burger? Do we want to go home and have leftovers? Do we want to do this?" There's only one place to go. Peter tells us about it in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, putting aside all malice, putting aside all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." There's one place to be fed spiritually: in God's word, reading scripture. You know, in another place, Paul says, I wanted to give you meat, but I couldn't because you weren't ready to grow enough, and so I was just giving you milk. That's not what he's talking about here. In this passage, milk is something that he's referring to and saying to me, "Hey, Vince, you may have been a follower of Jesus now for 48 years. You need to continue to desire the milk of the word just like a baby. You can't lose that. Keep needing it. Your soul needs food. God has created you with a physical hunger so that you will eat food and will give strength to your body. But it's supposed to remind us that God has created us with a spiritual hunger. You need food for your soul. Who's hungry? See, because good. You know, I said that, my stomach growled, right, when I said that. But if you didn't eat until next Sunday, you know, I don't know whether you'd be able to walk in here. I can only think of one time in my life where I didn't eat for a week, but that's because I was hooked up to an IV in a hospital and they were feeding me, you know, intravenously for 7 days or whatever. But if you didn't eat any food, I don't know if you'd be able to come walk in here next week. If you did, you'd be weak. But there are some people who come and hear the scripture on Sunday, and they're not going to open it again until next week. You need to read the word. If you don't have a Bible, tell us. We'll get you one. If you're just beginning to read scripture, open up the Gospel of John and get to know Jesus, right? If you're hurting and struggling and battling with aches and pains in life, read the book of Psalms. What I mean, get into the word and grow. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this passage of scripture and for the reminder to us that we're not just physical bodies, we are spiritual bodies. Help us, Lord, when we get hungry physically, to praise you for that design that we would eat, but also that it would cause us to hunger for your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.